Yep.
I have a question for Andrew.
Hi.
First question was how long did I know before it was announced? It's 30 minutes. I think it was about 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys organized a pretty terrifying ruse. I was in Cancun at the Sony press junket and for the social network, and I was waiting to hear about whether or not I would be able to fulfill the childhood dream, which, you know, wasn't annoying at all to be waiting for that knowledge. And I was surrounded by people who knew, probably. And I was reading every single eyebrow twitch or lip curl that might have given away whether or not I got the role. And everyone was being incredibly poker-faced. And at the end of a press day of talking about the social network, Amy Pascal's assistant came and got me from the room I was in. You got that? Okay, do you want me to start again? and he said, hey, Stoneface. He was like, oh, Amy wants to quickly have a word with you up in her suite. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. She's gonna let me down easy, and that's really sweet of her. She's gonna tell me personally that I didn't get the role. That's incredibly lovely. So I went up, and then I walked into her room, and there was a flip camera, a little flip video camera set up on record on the door as I came in. But the person that answered the door was Mark Webb. And I, at that point, I was like, okay, well, this is going to be the most defining experience of my life and a kind of turning point. And there was champagne, and there was sweetness, and there was lots of love in that room. And I'll never forget it. And they really gave me a really special thing to tell my grandkids. And then we went down the back of the hotel we were at, through the kitchen, where everyone was very confused because I was being treated like Elvis, but I looked like a skinny little spider monkey. And everyone was pretty, you know, like baffled by who I was, because I looked like a member of the staff. And then we came and saw you guys, and I was grinning very nervously, and then we shot the film.
All right, right here.
The next day.
So being a comics fan, Spider-Man, there are many different incarnations. Growing up, what was your favorite incarnation, and who's your favorite Spider-Man villain as a kid?
Me.
Yeah.
I love the majority of the incarnations. I'll say all the incarnations. The Torment series is one of my favorites. The McFarlane series was one of my favorites. I love the Ultimates. I only got into the Ultimates doing research for the film, but that was a really great source of how I wanted Spidey's body to look. I love the artwork in that, and how lithe and skinny he was, because I'm skinny. I don't know if you can see, but I am skinny. And I love the idea of a skinny teenage kid beating the crap out of huge guys. That's always been a dream of mine that I wanted to personally fulfill, and what better way to do it and give other skinny kids in the audience that sense of achievement as well. Gosh, it's impossible to say a favorite.
All right, then we'll move on in the back.
We released it a little bit earlier than we probably would have, but it was just, we wanted people to have a quality version of it online rather than, you know, a taped version from the back of the theater. But other than that, no, it's just kind of stick to our plans.
Are you afraid?
Mark, first I want to thank you for 500 Days of Summer and helping me get through 500 Days of Diane. Did you have as much fun with the romance of Peter and Gwen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a romance. That's one of the things that has made Spider-Man, I think, really unique in terms of the comics. There is a real sort of tender romantic quality to it, and certainly that's something that's always fascinated me about cinema, is good romance. And that was something that was really fun to explore with it. Andrew and Emma had done such great work on screen. I mean, we just finished shooting, and I'm having so much fun putting together the scenes with Andrew and Emma. There's such tenderness and honesty in that. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to make the film is to explore that very important part of the Spider-Man mythology. So yes, you'll expect great things from them.
Well, maybe don't expect too much.
Come on,
expect something. Expect to be on screen.
On the end.
We did like that camera testing, right? That was it, right?
Yeah, it was. I walked in and he was in the full Spider-Man suit.
Scratching my ass.
Scratching his ass, which was great. Just to break that up. But I went in and I needed to stand next to him in the camera test, and I think I really inappropriately just started touching you, like. He was like, "Stop touching me!" And I said, "You have to realize that everyone is in the room with Spider-Man. This isn't just about you. Everyone is around Spider-Man right now."
Actually, nothing to do with me. Yeah.
Had nothing to do with you at all. So it was pretty. It was pretty incredible to see him in costume for the first time because you couldn't see his face. You just saw Spider-Man.
She was also wearing a Spider-Man costume.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird?
It's
such a small world.
I did not want to go anywhere near her because I was like, I thought I was Spider-Man. I felt threatened, and then she wasn't really doing that. Yeah, I mean, like, Emma's natural hair color is blonde, but I had never seen her as a blonde, and that was interesting, I guess. You know, it suits you, I think, and so does the red. That's neither here nor there. Right?
Right, well played.
In the purple and white.
Oh boy, that would I don't know if I could be a superhero, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd love to say yes. There's 12 I can name, but you know, I don't know if I'm your girl if you're looking for a superhero.
Right here on the end, right here. Avi, we'll start with you.
As most of you are aware, we started on our way to do another movie. And our director and cast and us realized that it wasn't enough newness. It was a new story to tell. As we started discussing this movie, what we want to make, we knew that we need to find the stories that were not told before. And we needed to find a director who would have his own style. And through his style, the movie would look different, feel different. Because directors tend to put their own vision on the screen. So we had a better origin in some ways, because we are dealing with something people care about, not knowing who their parents are, loss of parents, not knowing where they are. Why they're not here. Then we have probably the greatest love story in Marvel, which is Gwen Stacy. The relationship between Gwen and her father again, and we have this, we're not supposed to talk about being an amazing villain. So no one knows who is a villain, right? Is it a secret? Okay. But
this is great.
The only thing that stayed the same made us go and make the movie is the spirit of Peter Parker. What he's about, but how would he behave in this day and age? How would a kid like him in high school react to things? So you'll see again. I'll let Mark get into what his vision for Peter Parker, and we just loved what it was. We were able to convince Mark to take a shot at it, which is, you know, scary stuff, and we are very proud of what we have.
Yeah, I think that there is, I think Spider-Man is a part of our culture, he's a perennial character. It's something that's he's constantly re-examined, and there's so many versions of him in the comics. It was something that I thought we could do cinematically. And he belongs on the big screen, you know, and it was, there's just so much fantastic material that comes from the comics, whether it is Gwen Stacy, the Lizard, and Dr. Kirk Connors, this relationship with Kirk Connors, who's this both mentor and adversary, I think is a really beautiful and interesting and exciting and exhilarating story. And there was just, I was a little skeptical at first, you know? I was like, because you feel the presence of those in the movies in a certain way, but it's just, it kept me up at night. Like, that dream, like, I mean, we all feel this, like, incredible sense of responsibility, but, like, how could I walk away from this? What an opportunity. What better cinematic character is there than Spider? Mm-hmm. It is not. It's fascinating. It was exhilarating to do. It was just so much fun. Total joy.
Emma?
Sorry, I'm going to embarrass you. For me, it was Andrew. I think Mark is amazing, and I think that the producers are amazing, and Sony's amazing, and the script was so interesting, and it was, it's, as you've heard, a different story than you've seen before, but it was Andrew, because my character experiences everything with Peter, and it's her first love, and they experience so much together, and he teaches her so much, and they teach each other so much, and with him it made sense. Once I read with him and once I met him, it just made sense. Sorry, buddy.
That's nice of you to say.
Anything more on that one?
Matt,
you were up.
Oh, I thought you were looking at reason. The only thing I would add is that we all love Spider-Man, and there are, as I think Avi said before, the story has been told and retold many different times. And I was at the studio, actually, as an executive when we decided to make this movie, and I think we always wanted to make another Spider-Man movie and another Spider-Man movie, but Mark talked about his reluctance at first, and it was actually something incredibly inspired and challenging and exciting about what he calls his skepticism, because I think he immediately expressed a great love of the character, but was humbled by what had come before and was humbled by the power of the comics. And I remember he wrote an email, I hope I don't embarrass him, but he wrote an email to my boss, Amy, which she promptly sent me, and it was just one of those sort of brain dumps of, you know, this emotional outpouring of who he felt Peter Parker was. And it was fantastic. And it was different. And it was completely respectful to the character, and he had great love for the character, but it was a version of it that came from his heart and from his experience. And I think that's what's so powerful about Spider-Man, is that we all bring ourselves to it. But as soon as we read that, we sort of felt, my God, you know, this is something really special, and here's a different way to go. And so it was kind of off to the races.
Back in the middle.
Hey guys, the trailer that we saw, will that be the only thing that's shown in the LA? And you could also speak about the Spider-Man point of view in that. Will that be incorporated into the movie or just for the trailer? And also wondering how the stuff that leaked from the early days of the shoot online that we saw, did that mean that of your crackdown in the areas of shooting, how did it affect what you guys were doing?
I mean, we tried to, I'll answer the first part, the last part first. You know, we tried to shoot a lot of the stuff on location, which exposes you to kind of a certain kind of thing, and it was just the nature of the beast, you know? In terms of, sorry, what was the other question? The first part, the...
What about the trailer, the Spider-Man point of view?
Yeah, well, I wanted, here's the thing, I wanted to find, because we're shooting this in 3D, I wanted to conceive of certain things very specifically for 3D. You know what I mean? There's an experiential component to 3D that I think is really, really fantastic. And I was trying to, we're experimenting with generating that point of view, so you feel what Peter Parker feels. You feel what Spider-Man feels when he's jumping over the buildings and over the streets and that sort of thing. But we made a very, and Andrew had to pay the price for this, a very conscious effort to ground the stunts. And there was a lot of really, we had an incredible stunt team put together. I mean, we built this whole rig hundreds of feet long under the Riverside Drive in Harlem, and we swung a man through traffic down the street. And then Andy Armstrong also built a car rig that with a series of wires that was incredibly complicated and really a beautiful contraption to help do those effects practically. And that was something that I thought was really, really exciting and exhilarating to explore, not to mention an incredible level of acrobatics.
Hello.
He's in a press.
Hey, no, this isn't Rob, this is Andrew. Andrew Garfield, this is a press conference for The Amazing Spider-Man at Comic-Con. No problem, bye. Rob, someone called, 323, number.
Right. Is it still recording?
We have a question in the back.
I'd love to see it. I want to see it.
I haven't seen it.
I really want to. I think Judy Tamel is a genius.
Yeah. All right, down here in front of the white.
I realize all these properties are at different studios, but is there any kind of like possibilities, discussions, or even hype dreams of merging this incarnation of Spidey with the Marvel Cinematic Universe that's been established, given his relationship with those characters?
That's maybe an obvious question.
Can you repeat the beginning of it?
Are they gonna connect? He's asking if they're going to connect to the Avengers.
No. I think that obviously in the comics, the team-ups and the mix-ups and so on, that's the way to keep publishing going for that many years. But I think Spider-Man has a huge universe of its own. So many villains, foes and friends, and great sagas about Peter and his parents, and Gwen. It's not something we are thinking about because we have so much more to tell. That's why we made this particular one.
In the back.
In the comics, Peter Parker, when he takes on the role of Spider-Man, has always had more of a sense of humor, quips constantly while fighting his adversaries. And he didn't really come across in the first few movies as strong there. We see that take more presence.
Yes.
Yes.
They hired a comedic actor to wear the suit,
yeah.
And he wrote his own jokes, and
a funny guy.
He's brilliant. It's Judd Apatow is in the suit, and I had those points.
All right, this is going to be our last question down front.
My question is for Andrew. Did you talk to Tobey Maguire at all, or did you want to have the freshest start as possible, not only in terms of skinniness, but Spider-Man?
I love Tobey Maguire's interpretation of the character. It's one of the things that rekindled my and reminded me of how much this character means to me. And when I watched that first film, that first Spidey film, I lost my mind. And I watched it back to back. I watched it twice in a row when I first saw it. And I had the wonderful fortune of meeting him after we finished shooting. I didn't seek him out. But he sent a very 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 nice email. I think once it was announced to, I think Matt, basically giving me his blessing, and it meant the world to me because I respect him so much as an actor generally, and especially what he did with the role that I'm now assuming.